So today is, well, it's not about hype. We're not reviewing some shiny new software product.
Right, no dissecting the latest marketing buzzword either.
No, today we're actually conducting a forensic audit.
A forensic audit. I think that's really the only way to describe it. We've got this massive stack of internal documents on the virtual desk.
All from a firm called Metron Intelligence.
Whoa.
Or Metron Ventures. They go by both.
White papers, methodology breakdowns, even client deliverables. It's all here.
And our job isn't to just review them. It's to, you know, red team their entire existence.
For anyone listening who isn't familiar, red teaming is basically, it comes from the military.
Right. We're acting as the enemy, or at least the professional skeptic.
We're here to poke holes, to stress test their claims, and see if the whole thing holds up.
Exactly. We're stepping into the role of strategic intelligence analysts, stripping away the brand to see the engine.
Because Metron makes some,
yeah,
well, some very aggressive claims. They talk about decision-ready intelligence.
This idea that they're the bridge between raw, chaotic data and actual, you know, strategy.
Which is exactly where I think we should start.
Me too. My mission for this deep dive is to figure out if their core philosophy, this thing they call measured connection, is substantive, or if it's just fancy jargon.
High-level consultancy speak.
Exactly. I'm coming at this from the Socratic angle. I want to know the why and the what. Does this framework actually hold water?
And I'm here for the how. I'm the nuts and bolts guy today. I'm looking right at the operations.
Okay.
Because, frankly, the philosophy is interesting, but they have a very specific claim that just, it jumped out at me.
Let me guess. The efficiency numbers.
The efficiency numbers. They claim they can achieve 95 to 99% research efficiency in 10 to 14 days.
Which, let's just be honest, sounds almost impossible.
It sounds incredibly aggressive. I mean, from my experience, the industry standard for that kind of depth, you're talking 6 to 10 weeks.
Weeks, not days.
Weeks. So my red team challenge is simple. Is that speed real, or are they just cutting corners, skimming the surface?
Okay, a perfect tension. So let's structure this audit. We use their own logic, move from the roots to the trunk, then the branches, and finally the leaves.
Roots as the philosophy, trunk is the math.
Branches the methodology, and leaves the actual, you know, the deliverables.
Got it. Let's do it.
Okay, let's dig into the roots. The whole thesis revolves around this idea of measured connection. And in their documentation, there's this working paper from January 2026 by W. Mello Dumani called The Translator Imperative.
Right. I saw that. It's a bold move for a business intel firm to be writing about cognitive evolution.
It is. Usually you just get a state of the market PDF.
Exactly.
But they argue intelligence isn't just about data collection anymore. We have AI for that. They bring in two concepts, WASAD and SILA.
Okay, let's break those down. Those aren't typical MBA terms.
Not at all. WASAD is about balanced judgment, finding that middle path, and SILA is connection.
Sarah, balanced connection.
Basically, yeah. The argument is that real intelligence, the kind that actually moves the needle, is the synthesis of conflicting ideas.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about more data. It's about the connection between the data.
I read that part in the paper. They call it cognitive hybridity, the idea that humans aren't just processors. We're translators.
Yes, the translator imperative.
You know, from an operational standpoint, I see the value in that. The biggest bottleneck for businesses right now isn't a lack of information.
It's the opposite. It's overload.
It's information overload. Terabytes of data, dashboards that never end. What's missing is the meaning. So if Metron is selling meaning making, then they're solving a real problem.
And that's the Socratic point.
Yeah.
They're blending dual process theory intuition versus reason with cultural evolution. You need the gut check and the spreadsheet.
Okay, but let me ask you the practical question. Does this philosophy actually help a business, or is it just academic posturing?
That's the test, isn't it?
I think it helps if, and this is a big if, it changes the final output. If measured connection means the report I get translates data into a decision for me, then yes. It saves me from reading 400 pages to find one insight.
So the philosophy has to serve the efficiency. It's not just for show.
Exactly. It has to be a filter. If you think your job is translation, you research differently. You write differently.
Which I think brings us perfectly to the trunk.
Right. The mathematical frameworks that hold it all up. And this is where I found something. Well, I really want your take on
it. You're looking at their value equation.
I am. They have this formula. Value equals financial prolificness plus likability.
I can already hear the skepticism.
Well, yeah, come on. Likeability. We're talking about serious M&A support, tech audits. Likeability feels, it feels like a very soft metric for a red team audit.
It does, but I think you're misinterpreting their definition. They aren't talking about being nice.
Okay.
They frame it in the context of what they call reputation economics.
Reputation economics. What is that?
Look at their upcoming paper, Reputation Economics. Character is currency. The argument is that in our networked world, character is currency. If you're likable in their framework, it just means you have high trust.
Hmm.
And let me ask you practically, what happens in a business deal when trust is extremely high?
Well, transaction costs plummet. I don't need a 50-page contract. I don't need to spend 2 weeks verifying everything you say. Things get faster.
Exactly. And they have this other metric, the CCI, the Content of Character Index. They're literally trying to quantify virtue in organizations.
So they see character as a mathematical necessity.
Not a moral nice to have. If a company has a high CCI, the friction of doing business with them just drops.
Okay, framed that way, I can get on board. It's the speed of trust idea. If I trust the intelligence source, I don't have to redo their work myself. So likability is really a proxy for reliability.
Reliability and integrity, correct. It's an efficiency multiplier.
Yeah.
If you're unlikable, meaning unreliable or opaque, you're expensive to work with, even if your fees are low.
That's a fair point. Okay, I'll concede on likability. But now let's get to the branches. This is where the rubber meets the road.
The efficiency claim.
The efficiency claim. 95 to 99% research efficiency in 10 to 14 days for their standard projects.
That is just, it's a huge claim.
Whether it's pre-investment research or a tech stack audit, 2 weeks. And you said the standard is what?
Up to 10 weeks, easily.
Yeah.
For a full comprehensive analysis, 6 weeks is considered fast. 10 is normal.
So how are they just, you know, plugging it into ChatGPT and pasting the results?
That's the cynical take, right? But I look at their methodology breakdown. They use a structure called Define, Explain, Prove, Anticipate Roadmap.
That sounds like a rhetorical structure more than a research one.
It is, but it's also a constraint. Think about it. Most consultancy decks are, what, 80 pages of fluff with 5 pages of actual insight?
To justify the price tag, yeah.
Right. By forcing everything into this define, explain, prove logic, they cut the fluff. If a piece of data doesn't serve the prove or anticipate step, it doesn't go in. So it's reductionist, but in a good way. Editing is an act of intelligence.
It's extremely focused. And to your point about AI, they use what they call multi-methodology validation. Explicitly, no single source reliance.
So they're triangulating.
Primary research, secondary validation, expert interviews. They're doing the real work just inside a very tight scope.
But wait, let's pause. Red team hat on. Where does this fail? No methodology is perfect.
That's the critical question. Where does this fail? And I think I found it. Their methodology is built for decision-ready intelligence. It's for synthesis.
Okay.
It would probably struggle with, say, a multi-year longitudinal scientific study.
You mean if you have to generate brand new raw data from scratch, like a clinical trial?
Exactly. If you need to watch a petri dish for 6 months, you can't do that in 14 days. Physics is physics. They synthesize existing complex data.
Oh, that makes sense.
They even mention a service called dissertation transformation for academics. They're taking dense raw work and translating it. They aren't the ones in the lab holding the pipette.
That's a great way to put it. They're the architects, not the bricklayers.
Right. And for 90% of business decisions, M&A, go-to-market, you don't need a bricklayer. You need the architect who knows what to build with the materials you already have.
So the 14-day timeline holds up because the scope is about curation and connection, not raw invention.
It holds up because they are incredibly disciplined. They call it decision-ready for a reason. If it doesn't help you decide, it's out.
Which makes sense. Okay, let's move to the leaves, the fruit of the tree. What does a client actually get?
This is where it gets really interesting. It's not the standard, here's a PDF, good luck model.
No.
They deliver 6 formats, one package.
6 formats for every single project. That sounds like overkill.
It does, until you go back to their cognitive hybridity idea, that whole translator imperative.
From people consume information differently.
Precisely. So first, you get the written analysis. That's the big one, 40 to 85 pages for your chief strategy officer.
The deep reader.
But then you get an audio briefing. And the document specifically says it's in a notebook LM conversational format for executives.
Whoa, that's incredibly meta. So they're using advanced AI, like the tech behind this deep dive, to create a listenable summary.
Yep. 20 to 40 minutes, perfect for the CEO's commute. Then there's a video summary, a presentation deck that's board ready.
So the client doesn't have to make their own slides. Smart.
Knowledge maps for visual thinkers. And then finally, the raw data packages, like the Excel sheets.
That is comprehensive.
It's almost overwhelming, but in a good way. It makes sure the CEO on the plane, the CFO with the spreadsheet, and the board with the slides are all working from the same truth. It solves the I didn't have time to read the memo problem.
So who are their clients? Who is this for?
They break it into three segments. One is corporations and investors, so, you know, due diligence. Two is scaling operations, like startups needing tech audits. And the third is interesting solo entrepreneurs needing business model research.
A pretty broad range. But do we have proof that it works?
Yeah.
We need evidence.
We have some case studies. You always take these with a grain of salt, of course.
Of course.
But look at this one. Kuwait blockchain research. Timeline was 14 days, stated accuracy of 98%.
Okay, but what was the outcome?
The result was board approval in the first presentation cycle.
Wow, that actually speaks volumes. Usually a board asks for more data.
Exactly. Getting a yes on the first try means the report anticipated their questions. That anticipates step in the methodology.
What about the others?
Sports tech market intelligence. 12 days, 96% accuracy. They claim it cut the decision timeline by 60%. And a real estate investment analysis in the GCC, 11 days, 96% accuracy.
Those accuracy numbers, 96, 98%. My Socratic question is, how on earth do they measure that? You can't know if a strategy is accurate until years later.
That is the ultimate red team question, isn't it? In this field, accuracy is usually measured after the fact. Did the market behave as predicted?
Right.
The fact that they publish these numbers implies they're actually tracking client outcomes against their reports over time.
Which goes right back to the trust and reputation economics point. Mm. If you fake those numbers, you get found out pretty quick.
Your whole model collapses. The fact they lead with them suggests a high degree of confidence.
So we've audited the roots, the trunk, the branches, and the leaves. What's the final verdict?
From my practical standpoint, the efficiency claim is valid because the methodology is so strict. They aren't magicians. They're just incredibly disciplined. They have this line in their ops guide. Consistency, punctuality, plus focus, plus discipline. That's how they hit that 14-day window. No scope creep.
And from my side, I'd argue their real value isn't even the research. It's the synthesis.
Go on.
We're in a world flooded with AI-generated text. Any LM can spit out a generic report. Metron seems to be betting that the only real premium left is the human ability to connect disparate truths, to apply measured connection.
So you're saying the future belongs to the translator?
I think so. It's a return to human judgment, just amplified by tech, not replaced by it. They use the tools, but the insight, the sila, that connection that comes from a person.
And practically speaking, if that saves me 6 weeks of spinning my wheels on a project, it's worth it.
Accuracy equals trust. I think that's the bottom line here.
And in a world of AI hallucinations and, you know, constant data overload, trust is probably the most valuable commodity there is.
Well said. So that wraps our audit of Metron Intelligence.
The only question left is for you, the listener.
Exactly. Here's the final thought to mull over. We talked about how Metron treats likability or character as a hard economic metric.
Reputation economics.
In your own work, in your own company, are you treating your character index as a mathematical variable? Or are you still treating it as just, you know, being nice?
Because if they're right, your character is an actual line item on your balance sheet. And if you aren't calculating it, you might be losing money you don't even know you have.
And that changes everything. Thanks for diving in with us.
See you next time.